I think I got our topic.
Okay.
And I'm just going to throw us right into it.
Let's do it.
This episode, because we only have a limited amount of time, we're going to put into practice in real time limitations. Let's talk about limitations and how they are our friend. We touched on it the last episode. Let's dive into, we're going to, and in fact, I'm going to set a timer, and I think this is maybe going to be helpful beyond
the
just,
limitation
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, let's see if we can go from point A to point B in, let's see, I'm setting a timer. We need to leave here to go to the movie in about 25 minutes. So I'm going to set a timer for 20 minutes.
Okay.
This is going to be a micro episode, but how do limitations benefit us in the creative world? I think we can all attest to that they do. I think if you just look at the general format of songs historically, they've been around 3 minutes. Now, Roger Waters probably thinks that's not enough time. But most popular music throughout the ages has been around that timestamp. And I think that's what that limitation is. I mean, we look at the recording mediums as well. I mean, vinyl has a CDs, tape, they all have limitations on the time. So music was recorded to fit into that time frame. And it had to be put into the context of the creation process, which is a challenge. But I think it's a good one. I think it's a noble one. And I also think it is a productive one, an efficient one. I think that if we can apply that to all courses of our life, including not just the creation of the art, but then the rolling out and the sharing of the art, and then just our daily lives that we live around it, like we talked about on last episode about, like, let's put caps on how much time we spend doing non-creative stuff.
Yeah.
That seems so essential, you know?
Yeah.
So we've got T-minus 19 minutes now to come full circle on this. Where do you stand on limitations? In fact, what is a limitation you're going to put into place? You mentioned last episode, March 9th being when things are going to slow down for you. And this episode might even be out before or after that. But March 9th for you is your date when you think things with your day job are going to slow down enough that you could start pushing forward.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that goalpost is perpetually moving ahead. Yeah.
And it's not just the day job. It's just like the day job and moving and like a car thing and like commitments I have, right? And so it just feels like in those few weeks, that'll be the moment I can sit down and like have enough space to take some free time. So we're talking about positive limitations, like boundaries that we can set. I'm kind of thinking about it in terms of like, you know, how does it benefit me that right now I don't have a ton of time to do it, right? And I think about songs ideally being 3.5 minutes long for radio. Like, I am guilty of writing 5 minute songs every single time. Mm-hmm. And I just think, honestly, the truth is, like, if we choose to accept the limitation and honor them as something that can be beneficial, like, it adds a new layer of just kind of peace with the process.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jeff Tweedy talked about, like we mentioned in the last episode, like having that limited amount of space, like it amplifies my appreciation for it. You know, one of the things that came up in the last episode was Gillian Welch talks about like this idea of having a notebook next to your bed, because when you're falling asleep, that's when the great ideas come. Mm-hmm. And she refuses to have a notebook because she thinks that if the song is worthy of being remembered, it will stick around.
That's an interesting
thought. That kind of terrifies me because none of those ideas ever stick around for me.
But maybe those ideas weren't what you thought they were.
Maybe not. I mean, I always read it as kind of like, oh, I was too lazy to get out of bed and do it.
Oh, I've had so many of those.
Song, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just think like having limitations can be somewhat freeing if we're willing to accept truly that there's no such thing as perfection in art.
Yeah.
You know, like having that 3.5 minute song, like I'm envious of people who can write those songs. Like I think of Willie Nelson, he refuses to write something that's longer than that. And yet he writes masterpieces that are very simple, you know?
Everything is a limitation. I mean, language itself is a limitation.
Yeah.
So why would this be any different?
I think about that a lot with lyrics because there's like certain linguistic plays I want to do sometimes, but you're like, no, the medium itself, like they aren't reading the word.
Right.
And most people aren't going to go back and look at the lyric book, let's be honest. Like,
well, you know, I've heard a lot of talk amongst creative writers when they talk about, you know, Rick Rubin, I think, touches a lot on this, about what we face as creatives in the, as we kind of wrangle down the kite out of the sky of our creative ideas, as we get it, as we get the kite, he's not using, I'm making this metaphor up, I'm playing off of whatever he actually did say. As we pull the kite closer to the ground, we're limiting how far that that kite can go. And that can feel really nerve-wracking, because it's a limitless idea when it's in our head.
Yeah.
You know, and we, and each time, like, let's say you're writing a song in your head, or, you know, maybe you're sitting down with a guitar, but you're writing it. At that moment, it remains limitless. And each iteration you go through, you explore a new angle, you put in a new word, you change a new chord, and that limitlessness feels exciting, which is part of the process and part of the peril that we feel in our soul, is to then have to, at some point, cultivate that and cut that into something that is tangible.
Yeah.
And then it takes away some of that limitlessness, which is why so many of us have a hard time finishing anything. We have a hard time finishing a song or a recording. I'm certainly a culprit of that with my own songs. I've slaved over them for way too long. And it's not that they didn't get better, but maybe the previous version also was, you know what I mean? So the trouble that comes with the creative work is to be okay with, if in order to share this with the world, you're going to have to just let go of the infinite possibilities and let it be what it is. Doesn't mean there's not some future iteration, and maybe it's a different work entirely that is derivative of this piece of work or whatever it is, but just letting go of this limitlessness so that you can get it out of you, share it, and move on. And that, I wouldn't say even, that is not limited to the creative work, but also to the marketing of it. You know, like I've been studying short form content creation, which is, you know, if you talked to me 6 months ago about this, I'd read you the riot act, because I still find it somewhat detestable, but I'm starting to embrace how these formats are what they are, and not wanting it to be anything beyond what they are, and to create. I've seen a lot of people online exchanging the word content with the word art, or the words artwork, like artwork, which I like a lot more. I think that's it's a more comfortable way of, you know, or as my wife calls it, promotional material. Content is very reductive. I still don't like the idea of it, but if you're creating artwork, which is really just a way to promote the actual art, work within the format. Be comfortable within the format. Accept it. And if you don't like it, don't use it. So don't use TikTok if you don't like TikTok. But if you are going to use it, understand what that format entails, what people are going there for, and make something for that. And I'm starting to come around to the idea that, you know what, that's a new creative avenue that I've never explored, and I shouldn't be such a naysayer until I've played around with it. It doesn't mean I have to play around with it permanently.
Yeah.
But it's how is it any different than picking up a different instrument for the first time and exploring where that takes you?
It's really not.
Yeah.
That's helpful, because I was sort of having trouble with the like limitation terminology, because there's such a romanticization of the limitlessness. Mm-hmm. Like, because that feels like the goal, right? It feels like I want to always live in that, like, anything's possible, there's hope. And
that's true.
It is, in a sort of like beginner's mind kind of way. Yeah. But like, it is interesting to me to think of it more in terms of like, there's a benefit to structure, I guess is how I would put it. I mean, because I've been living my life, especially my creative life, without much structure for a long time. And it's like been kind of miserable, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think about like, you know, when I was in college and I took songwriting classes, like, you know, there was that part of you that's like, you can't teach this. Like, it's songwriting. Like, mm-hmm. It's an art form. But the reality is like, yeah, the ultimate end product is subjective. Like, who's going to tell you? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are like certain songs I think we would all agree are great songs. But you know, there are rules to it. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you can break the rules, but it's helpful to know when you're breaking them and why you're breaking them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason certain structures work well. Like, and I'm always fascinated by kind of like the idea of just how the human ear and mind like internalizes stuff. And like, mm-hmm. you think about like Eastern music and how it sounds atonal to us and our music sounds atonal to them. And that's all fascinating to me. But just on a very basic level, like there's a reason why verse, chorus works pretty well.
It's proven. Yeah,
it's proven. And like, it doesn't mean you have to do it, but like, who are we to be the ones that sit here and like, I do it all the time. Like, oh, I'm going to write a 6-minute epic and I'm so proud of it, but then wonder why like most people won't give it the time of day.
Right.
And it's like the issue in that is me being frustrated and feeling like I'm unworthy because they're not giving it the time of day. Mm-hmm. There's not a problem with the fact that I wrote 6 minutes, and there's not a problem with the fact that most people don't have the time or the focus or the interest in listening to that.
Yeah.
It's just simply like, if my goal is to get to those people, I should probably play by some of the rules that might attract those people.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, as humans, we are designed, we need structure in every part of our life, and art consumption is no different.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you think about how many times have you and every artist or musician that you know struggled and even had like crisis over uploading your song to a distributor and having to choose genres?
Oh, yeah.
Like that is kind of the bane of our existence,
alternative
right?
Alternative folk.
Yeah, I don't fit in any of these categories. Yeah. My stuff is on another level. Okay. But if I'm a listener, like, yeah, I don't think whatever infinite genres you are pulling from, they're not going to be able to grab to. So we have to do it in every level. You have to do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're still a unique snowflake. And at the same time, like, you know, we're all trying to find little boxes to put our intake into. There's nothing wrong with that.
At all.
I think about, you know, but, you know, and at the same time, pushing that limit, pushing those limitations is healthy. But then ultimately finding out like, okay, well, maybe we push it a little bit further and then we can rein it back in. I think of like, I'm a big Richard Linklater film, a fan of his films. He did like Before Sunset, the trilogy, the Before Sunset and Slacker and Boyhood and just a bunch. I just love his style. And he is very long form. I mean, even for feature films, he goes often. Well, I mean, Boyhood was almost 4 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And it was filmed over 12 years. It was an incredible feat. And he's done several things like that. Slacker is like this total non sequitur. If you've never seen it, it came out in the, I believe, the 80s or 90s. And it just follows around all these characters for no longer than 5 minutes, but it goes on and on and on and on. It, you know, they cross paths and with a passerby, and then all of a sudden the camera's following that passerby. And so like I don't know what the runtime of that specific film was, but the point is that was pushing boundaries. Boyhood was pushing boundaries of what you expect out of a film. You don't expect a 4-hour film. And I would say like he probably had gone even farther than that with 12 years of footage, maybe 6 hours. Who the hell knows, you know, but you do have to rein it in. And for him, it was 4 hours. So it doesn't mean you have to stick. The point I'm trying to make is it's like these limitations are not in stone, but they are relative jumping off points. And I think we can respect them and embrace them. And I think it will be our friend.
Definitely. And I also, like, what comes to mind for me is I think it's easy to look at some of our heroes and see the ways that they broke rules. Mm-hmm. And think that it gives us justification to do it. And yeah. I think from a strictly creative perspective, yes, it does. But I also think if you're talking from a business perspective, like you have to think of it in the context of a career.
Yeah.
Because like the truth is Dylan, like the thing I always say is like, if anyone in our friend group wrote Desolation Row, no one would ever care. Like it's way too long for that. Mm-hmm. But that's because Dylan had already established himself. Like he'd earned the right to break those boundaries because he already had an audience that was going to go with him mm-hmm. on it, you know? And like a lot of his early tunes were pretty short. And it's not that they weren't extremely profound, but they were shorter songs, you know, and like, look at the late Beatles stuff. Like, you know, they started pretty straight ahead. It was definitely like provocative and like different for the time, but they were pretty cutesy, like short, catchy radio hits. Like, you earn that point.
Yeah.
And it's not that you can't write those songs now. It's that it's not fair to resent the audience that isn't taking the time to listen to it because you haven't gotten, you haven't led them to that place yet.
Right.
You know, at least that's what I tell myself. But like,
well, I mean, too, you know, there's, yeah, I hope the computer's still on. Whatever. Let's just
limitations.
Keep, right. The computer set a limitation for us. Thank you, Mac. The, you know, when you think about, because like you just mentioned, like, okay, so if a filmmaker or what was the John Lennon Yoko Ono film that was like 12 hours long, whatever that was, it was just followed like a bug around or something. I never saw it. And I'm never going to see it. Like, I don't have time for that, right? So why should I expect my audience to have time for that?
I mean, most of my songs are, in effect, just 12 hours of a bug crawling around. That,
yeah, metaphorically.
Metaphorically, yeah.
Yeah. Where was I going with that? Oh, well, I mean, you know, I think this kind of also comes down to what is necessary to finish the thought, to finish the expression. If you get to, if you, you know, if we're going to keep digging at the 3-minute mark, if you get to 3 minutes and it's, not the song's not half expressed and it just needs to be 6 minutes, then it just needs to be. And you can take the audience need out of that. And whoever follows along will follow along. As long as you're doing it for the sake of the art and not for some other whatever ego sense or just inability to anchor it down. You know what I mean? Because I think that's there's a lot of meandering that could happen creatively speaking. I think we have to let the market kind of respond, and we need to then react to that. Not always, but I think like if we get enough non-engagement with a 12-minute song, it's maybe time to trim the fat and put out another version of that. Where it's like, okay, yeah, I was a little too self-indulgent and lofty. Rein it in,
for sure.
But that's part of the chiseling process.
It is. You know? I mean,
like think about like fish. Yeah. I don't want to offend any fish fans, and you might be one of them. Am I looking at a fish fan right now?
You're not.
Okay. I don't want to offend anybody out there, but let's just be honest about what that is. Those songs are too long. I mean, I barely call them songs. And I think, honestly, fish heads would attest to that's not what they're going for, is the point I'm making. But a 12-minute solo might be great for somebody on mushrooms, but it's not great for somebody who's looking for, you know, just a quick hit of an emotional impact that you can get in the 3 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, again, like if you're a fish fan, great. Like you're entitled.
Good for you.
You're entitled to it. It's great totally subjective.
Half of my friends growing up, fish fans, they were constantly trying to get me to go to fish
concerts.
But
it doesn't do a lot for me, like for the reasons that you said. You know?
And that's fine. That's fine.
Totally.
The point is both can exist. That version of long form can exist. I do actually think that they could have used some limitation. I think somebody could have said, hey, man, bring it in, you know? Now, for the live show, that's why are we going off about fish? But, I mean, for the live show, that is a different experience. Yeah. But I tried to listen to some of their studio albums, and it was also like, okay, the song is now lost. And you know what? That's fine. But I do think that, like, for the bulk of us, it's going to benefit us to like try to fit it into some kind of confined structure.
Sure.
And then push at those walls rather than just, you know, have no walls at all.
When I had a stint as a fry cook years ago,
I don't even know about this.
The boss turned on some live Grateful Dead, like as our radio, and it was just like, you know, 23-minute songs or whatever, you know, to each their own, but you'd get to the end of it and then Bob Weir or whoever would just go like, oh, it's been a great 3 days. And you'd just be like, it's been 3 days? I've been in this kitchen for 3 days?
It's a void,
like,
man.
It's a different thing, but the point like that you make, I think, is the important one. Like, once in a while, I think...
What was the point I made? I've already forgotten.
Well, the point being, like, I think once in a while, like, the art does call for a certain thing. Yeah. And I think the live, you know, jam thing, it's its own thing. Like, that's an experience. But in terms of songwriting, like, sometimes they think, yeah, a song should be 5 minutes if it needs to be. Like, yeah. There's some, I think of Floyd songs. I love Pink Floyd. And those songs should be, like, to fully express that thing. But I think it really comes down to me being honest with myself. And I think a lot of times I have so much trouble letting go of something that's only 3 minutes because I just think by default it's not the full expression.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality is, I think maybe the approach ought to be a little more impressionistic. Like, I've always just been someone who feels like, if you can't tell by listening to the podcast, like, I need to, like, clearly define every angle of everything. Like, mm-hmm. It all needs to be laid out. And at the same time, like, I wrote a song recently that I'm excited about. I said, for the first time, like, I don't know that I know totally what it's about, but I kind of like that about it.
I mean, on that note, I mean, my favorite songs to listen to and to write are left to the listener to kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't think I've ever allowed myself to do that, but
well,
we just hit the end.
That's it, man. If we didn't say all there is to need, all that we need to say, it's that doesn't matter because we've run out of time, and I think there's probably enough.
That's nice.
In there, yeah. I don't really even know how to close this thing out. I've never been at such a hard stop with this, so let's just stop. I hope that there was something in there for everybody or nobody.
Yeah.
We did it for us.
We did it for us.
Let's go see a movie. Thanks for listening to Nacademics.
Thanks.
Give us a 5-star rating for our limitations.
See you, Brett's mom.
Bye, mom. Should we try a different exit? Because I don't even know if that was good. Was that good?
That was good.
You sure?
Yeah. I love it. Limitations.
I said limitations weird, though. Limitation. I had one of those moments where... You ever try to, like, sound cool and then words just start to converge? And
I think this should just be a fade out of the episode. Like, just a total fade out.
Me having a meltdown. That's a good idea.